me that don't believe in science. Written on your forehead, always be denying. You're the dummy that don't believe in science. Written on your forehead, always be denying. Hey, hey.
We got words to say to you.
Welcome to episode 22 of
Are You Feeling 22?
Ooh-ooh.
I was talking to Celia the other day and we were like, we should have had like a karaoke podcast or something like that. I forget what we were saying, but then
a sing-along. Yeah.
But then we were like, we sing every podcast anyways, so
it's basically a sing-along anyways.
You get it all, guys. You get to learn about the environment. You get to hear us sing. If you're in your car, you can sing along with us.
22.
Or if you're just, you know, with your family at Thanksgiving, feel free. Sing along.
Sing along. So welcome. This is our, I guess, official Thanksgiving episode. I mean, last week we did.
This is Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Happy Black Friday, guys.
It really will be Black Friday.
It will be.
Excuse me.
Yes. Which is a scheme made up by capitalism.
You know,
which
I'm
a sucker for.
Such a sucker. I saw the coolest post today. Let me briefly try to find it really fast because.
Also, since it's a holiday, we're going to try to do a shorter episode today. We'll see how that works.
Yeah. We'll see. But it was Eco Tip on Easy Eco Tips on their Instagram page.
Oh, yeah.
How to do responsible shopping on Black Friday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
So let me share it real fast. Step one, do I really need it? Yes or no? If
yes.
You don't need it, don't get it.
Yes.
If it's a yes, look at question number two. Can I get it secondhand? Yes or no? If it's a yes, get it secondhand. If it's a no, ask yourself the following questions. Is it good quality? Can it be reused? Is it produced locally? Is it recycled? Is it zero waste, little to no packaging? And is it cruelty free? So basically,
yes.
Ask yourself these questions. Ask yourself these questions upon Black Friday shopping and
shopping
see what you can
general.
Find. Shopping in general. Always yeah. Shopping in general, but
I
especially
think those are good things to keep in mind.
Yeah. I think especially since this holiday is focused on shopping.
Well, and as soon as you go online anywhere, it's like see the deals and it shows you the price that it usually is and mm-hmm. then it shows you the discount price and you're like, I didn't even know that I needed muffin tins that are shaped like unicorns.
But I do, okay.
I don't know why that was the first thing that came to my
unicorn
mind.
Unicorn muffin tins.
You know, you might need them.
You might.
For your unicorn parties.
You might. So how was your week? Please excuse the heavy footsteps upstairs. For listeners at home, if you can hear them. We're in... Jeez, she walks heavy.
Evidently, we are in a... I don't know where. Somewhere that's really loud.
Yeah. I was trying to find a place that was quiet to record. And I think I do it too. And so it's not just one person. We have lead heels in my family.
Mm.
And so the people upstairs have lead heels. And you can hear them.
How dare they?
I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I do it too. I remember getting roasted as a kid for... I was told. And my anxieties of childhood coming out. I still do when I walk around and like... my parents are around or grandparents or anybody, like I walk funky. I know that I start to like walk like toe to heel and just like pad across the floor. And
so
at
you're
night,
terrified of getting roasted.
I'm terrified of getting roasted for my lead heels.
Mm-hmm.
But when nobody's home, I like thud like Bigfoot through the house. Thud, 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 thud. Yeah,
that's true.
That's me.
I can hear her late at night.
Yep.
How
was your week?
My week was good. I'm not traveling for work this week because
Woo-hoo.
It's Thanksgiving. So working from home, feeling like people who have been working from home since the beginning of the pandemic.
Still here, still working from still home. Here.
It's good. I like working from home. It's busy, but it still keeps you kind of on a schedule, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not like using my whole day to like sleep or whatever.
That's good for you.
I'm not adding you.
Okay. Okay.
Celia and I went on a nice walk today to get out because yesterday I worked long hours, and since the days are getting shorter, like the daylight is getting shorter, I worked like dark to dark. So I was telling her today I needed to see some daylight. So we did that. Yeah. It's been a good week. I got to see my mom this past weekend. She drove down to Utah, and we had a socially distanced Thanksgiving, her and I together.
I was like, what did you do?
we ate Five Guys. That was our Thanksgiving meal together.
So good. So good.
Yeah, and I'm going to, for like Thanksgiving and stuff, I'm going to Zoom with them and check up and see how they're doing.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that'll be good. How's your week?
The week has
school's finishing up.
Yes, except my brain has decided to check out. And I still have homework to do. Where today was supposed to be technically the last day of classes, my brain has said, no, you're already on break. So I still have homework to do.
Is it due today though?
No, it's kind of an open-ended due date.
Okay.
But I need to do it.
Right. And it's better to get done sooner rather than later.
Yeah. But here we are, not doing it.
That's okay. Yeah. It happens.
But things are great. I'm at home this week to see my family. It's going to be exciting. My brother gets home tonight. It's going to be fun. That is trademark fun TM.
It's like one of our friends sent sad and TM'd it in a text. And I was like, why?
First of all, how do you do that?
How do you TM a word in a text?
We're going to have to try it. I'm going to start TMing everything.
Yeah, in our posts. It'll be like, could girls go green? TM.
TM. I need some food. TM.
Saw a bunny today. TM.
TM. Got some unicorn muffin tins. TM.
Hey, if those don't exist, I am TMing that.
I don't think they exist.
I'm trademark, call dibs.
Well, it's all yours. I don't think anyone's scrambling for that.
Oh, there will be such high demand for it.
Okay.
Can you believe? Stelia's sister was telling us about, or no, it wasn't your sister. You were telling your sister about a unicorn party that we are going to have.
Oh, yeah.
Because her sister is obsessed with unicorns.
We were playing a gratitude game today, mm-hmm. And just going through the alphabet. My sister is eight. And we were going through the alphabet saying the things that we were grateful for.
That started with each letter.
Yeah, and we got to the letter U, and she goes, unicorns. Because
obviously,
if you don't believe in unicorns, you know, you have no faith in everything else. What was it? She it was something like,
she was like, there's nothing else to believe in other than unicorns.
If unicorns don't exist, there's no hope in the world, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm right there with you, sister. If there are no unicorns, my faith is dead.
It's dead.
Dead.
Yeah, but Celia, there's this game that we were telling them about that's called Unstable Unicorns, which if you guys haven't played it, it's pretty fun. You guys should check it out.
It makes me a little mad. But it's a fun game. It's cute. It's colorful. It's got lots and lots of unicorns. It makes me a little mad.
The only reason why I like it is because of that card that you can play with the stop sign that the unicorn is holding that says nay. And you can nay other people, which is basically like cutting them. I don't know how to call it.
Like if they, it's a reject card. Like if they play, if I were to play a card that allowed me to do something,
I could nay her.
And so I wouldn't be able to do the thing.
Yep.
And it makes me so mad.
But that's the reason why I love that game. It's only for that card.
That's it. That's the best card.
Yeah. But so we were telling them about that. And then Celia suggested that they do unicorn hot chocolate, which is a new thing that I've learned about. which is basically just white hot chocolate, right?
Oh, let me tell you.
Okay.
This
is about to not be a short episode.
No. It is a white hot chocolate base, which you can really do it with any hot chocolate, but it's a white hot chocolate base with whipped cream. And then all of the sprinkles you can imagine just dumped.
Amazing.
On top.
Amazing.
Like, I don't know why, but I mean, I feel like a lot of people just tend to collect sprinkles and lots of different kinds of sprinkles.
Because you don't use that much when you use them for like baking or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have random sprinkles.
Yeah. So you have the cute little ones that you put on top of ice creams. You have the ones that you do for cookies around the holidays. So you've got the red and the green sugar sprinkles and the weird chalky ones that don't taste good and the stars and the beads of sugar and just all kinds. And so basically, you just pour all of your sprinkles on top of the hot chocolate and they call it a unicorn hot chocolate.
Amazing. So I think for unicorn parties, there would be a demand for unicorn tins. We'll have to ask your sister.
Coming all the way back around.
Yeah.
If you don't have hope in unicorns, you don't have hope in general. At all.
So there you go. Yeah.
For you unicorn disbelievers out there, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Do we have anything else to add?
About my week?
Since it's Thanksgiving, should we say what we're grateful for?
Sure.
Is that stupid?
No. Let's do it. What are you grateful for, Julia?
You
can't be cliche and say, I'm grateful for you, Celia. I'm grateful for this podcast.
That was my last thought.
Okay, good.
Just kidding. I really am. I'm grateful that this podcast has taken off. I'm going to be cliche now.
Okay.
But I'm grateful that we've stuck to it and have been good. But I'm also, you know, with COVID and everything, it's made me really think about what's important. And I'm really grateful for family and technology that helps me stay connected to them, even when we're a couple states away. What are you grateful for, Celia? Tough act to follow.
It's a super tough act to follow. I am grateful for the brain break that this has been for me. And I recognize that it has not been that way for everybody, but I feel like I've been able to do a lot more, introspective. A lot more introspection this last year, and just kind of reflect on what I need, what my body needs, what my brain needs, and to be able to really focus on my goals, because a lot of times I'm a great goal setter. I'm a fantastic goal setter, but I never keep them. And this year, it's not been as great as I would have liked it to be, but I've come farther than I have in the past with my goal setting and my goal keeping. So this year, I mean, even though there's been a lot of hardships, a lot of trials, a lot of difficulties that have come our way, and not just our way, but like the general the people of the world's way. I feel
2020 has been rough for lots of people.
For everybody. Yeah. I feel like for me, it's been a time to kind of reflect on what's really been important to me and to be able to take the time to do that. So
I like that. That's a good point. Cool. Well, now that we've been soft, we will move on.
Yes, please. Moving on.
Okay. How were you eco-friendly this week?
Let me tell you.
She has been holding on to this one.
I have. So I used my dry shampoo this week. So
one that makes you sparkly.
Yes. So we talked a few weeks back about going to the bulk goods store in Salt Lake, and the bulk goods store. Yeah. Did we say it was in Salt Lake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you know.
And I've been kind of procrastinating using it just because I know that. So I've been using an aerosol dry shampoo that I really, really love. And I know that I've trained my hair to really take to this aerosol dry shampoo because it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Especially if. So I think right now I'm at up to about 3-4 days between washes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I like that. I think that's great, but it takes a little bit of time to acclimate to that.
Right.
Which
that's something that I've done, is
try to stretch out the time between washes.
Mm-hmm.
But this new dry shampoo, it's a powder, and so you just apply it to your roots and work it in. And so I've kind of been procrastinating doing it just because I know it's going to be a long process to try and reacclimate my hair.
Mm-hmm.
But I used it for the first time yesterday, and I was very pleasantly surprised, because it worked. First of all, it worked. It does make my hair feel a little bit heavier than it has before.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're putting a powder into your hair instead of spraying something on it.
Right.
And it did take away the oil and the shine, a lot of the oil and the shine that would have been there if I hadn't used it. So I'm glad that I did use it.
Mm-hmm.
However, it does sparkle a little bit. And so my roots are rather sparkly today. And I don't really love that. But
when you say it was like sparkly,
it looks like sparkly lice, because it didn't like work in.
Yeah,
completely. It doesn't just go away. And so I was looking at my roots and I was like, I look like I've got a lot of powder on my roots now, like sparkly lice, because it's glittery a little bit. But overall, I've enjoyed it. It's been good.
Yeah, I wonder if that's one of those things that will just go away after you. Kind of like maybe you have to train your hair a little bit more.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
I don't know, but
I'll have to try it.
Yeah,
I'll let you all know. I also picked up trash on our walk today.
She did, and put it in my pocket. So
you don't get to claim it.
So I picked it up. Who was really eco-friendly?
You walked past it. Oh, yeah, that's where I added you. You walked past it, and I picked it up.
I did. She did a good job. She was determined.
And then I made you carry it. I did make you carry it.
She did, but that's okay.
Yeah. I brought foods home, like home, like to my parents' home, that were going to go bad over the break while I was gone, instead of throwing them away. Because I had like a couple bell peppers, some mangoes, some kiwis, blueberries, tomatoes, just a lot of stuff that was going to go bad if I had left it. And instead of just throwing it away, I packed it up and brought it home.
Yeah.
And we've used most of it, actually, which has been awesome.
Cool.
What else? Oh, I guess this is kind of yours, but I don't know if you're going to say it. So I'm going to take it and use it as mine.
Don't take it. I know what you're going to take.
Do you?
Take it.
Okay. So we found someone on Facebook Marketplace. I did. I'm sorry. So we were using, it's really this last week has been the final week for any farmers markets who haven't closed down yet to kind of wrap up final sales and stuff like that.
Right. Especially in Utah. I mean, I know, you know, in Portland, they have that market that is year round, but in Utah it gets a little bit harder because it starts to get cold and mm-hmm. snowy, and so it's harder for those guys to stay open and stay having people coming. So
yeah, so we, because we're doing a kitchen counter composter, we've kind of been struggling with, oh, what do we do with our food scraps, because we're going through the effort to save our food scraps. But we don't want to just put them in the trash.
Right. It doesn't matter if we're just throwing it in the trash anyways.
Mm-hmm. And so I tasked Julia with putting it on Facebook Marketplace because I was drowning in tests. And so I passed the buck and she put it on Facebook Marketplace and we found somebody.
We did. We just delivered it to their house. It was super easy. It was completely contactless. We were both wearing masks and I basically just dropped it at their front door and said, good luck.
hope that's what you want.
Yeah, right. I told Celia, because she drove with me to the place, I was like, I hope they know. I took a picture of it and put it on there, but I hope they know it really is just food scraps. It's not like actual compost
mm-hmm.
yet.
They open it and it's like, but where's the dirt?
Right. I know. So I hope that was fine. Maybe I forgot to message them. So I should do that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yes. Thanks for stealing that.
You're welcome.
Was that all that you had?
That's it. That's what I've done.
Well, Celia stole mine. That was my main thing that I did. But I guess this week, since I'm not traveling, I'm going to be having more homemade meals, and I'm not going to be flying, so I'm cutting down on that. And yeah, most of the stuff that I do for work anyways, a lot of it can be done remotely, so I don't have to commute or anything. So that's been nice.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's going to be a really good break for both you and for your footprint.
Yeah.
On the environment.
I think plenty of people are going to be flying this week. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take myself out and other people will put themselves in.
Take you out and put 100 more in.
Right. Yeah. So, but I'm doing my part that I can do. Yeah. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Celia stole my big one.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
I don't really have much else going on.
Let's make it happen.
Okay.
Okay. So we have our list of people who were eco-friendly this week, and we are going to read their names now. I thought you were going to say something. You didn't say something. Okay.
No.
Read their names now. So we have Meredith, Yvette, Annie, Marlo, Janie, Christina, and Leah.
That's awesome, guys. Yeah. Thank you. We say it every week, but we really do love seeing your guys' posts. Every Friday we do the questionnaire of how were you eco-friendly this week, and we've started posting it on our story, like the responses, so that people can see. And I hope that you guys have loved it as much as we have.
So. Yeah, we really have. And we wanted to say, like, we have been so unbelievably amazed by the amount of support and responses that we've got, mm-hmm. The amount of support we've received on our Patreon page. Seriously, thank you guys. We could not do it without you.
Yeah, for real. Can we be cheesy and say that we're grateful for our listeners?
Yeah, we can say that.
Okay. We can say at the end too.
We wouldn't have a podcast without listeners.
It's true. Otherwise it would just be me and Celia sitting in a room together recording ourselves. Which is how it feels anyway.
It does.
But at least we can see that people are listening.
Yeah.
Which makes it better.
It does. It makes it worth it.
Yeah. Do you have a fun fact?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
So I needed something a little lighthearted today, just because I feel like my fun facts specifically have been a little bit, they're not fun facts, they're sad facts.
Yeah.
And I wanted a fun fact. And so I Googled. Did I write it down? Oh, yes. Bestlifeonline.com. And also, I was trying to figure out who had the fun fact today. And I think we're going to have double duty for a minute.
I saw that. Because yeah. Next week, we pre-recorded a guest episode for you guys. So stay tuned for that. But we miscalculated the turns. And so even though this week and last week we are alternating correctly, next week's episode where we have a guest on, we didn't calculate that right. So for those of you who are keeping count of...
And for anybody who cares.
Yeah. I don't know if it matters that much.
I don't know if it matters.
Yeah. But so I will also be doing the world update and Celia will be doing the fun fact next week. So
yes.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. So my fun fact is the coldest temperature ever recorded was... Do you have any guesses? What is your guess for the coldest temperature ever recorded?
Is it in Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Fahrenheit.
Okay, because I don't know how to do Celsius.
You know, I don't either. I think it's 30.
I think zero is 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, sure. Well, that's not far off from mine.
Freezing.
Yeah, zero is freezing. Yeah.
Anyways, Fahrenheit. Well, in Utah, it gets down into the teens. My guess is negative 10 degrees Fahrenheit.
What a guess. Is that your final answer?
Yes, and I'm scared if it's colder.
It's negative 144.
Degrees Fahrenheit?
Degrees Fahrenheit.
Where?
Antarctica.
Oh.
I mean, makes sense.
Oh my gosh.
But the temperature was recorded in Antarctica during a span of research taken between 2004 and 2016. And actually, just a few breaths of air at that temperature would induce hemorrhaging in your lungs and kill you.
I was going to say, there's no way, like, what do you do? Like, if you're a researcher down there, do you have a special face mask or something?
Probably. I think they have a base, McMurdo Station.
Yeah.
I think it's McMurdo Station. I don't know.
Did you know the Nazis are actually still down there too?
And so is Hitler.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Yeah. The conspiracy theory that Hitler is still alive.
No, but it's true.
Oh.
Yeah. I've visited.
Oh, you have? Really? Okay.
Yeah, I was actually there that day that they had that coldest day ever. And I saw Hitler. He was frozen.
just stop. No.
Remember way back when we started talking about how I can make Celia believe anything that I say?
I did not believe that for a second.
I know. I started believing myself for a second, though. That's the trick.
That's
sociopathic.
Sociopathic. I was like, psychological.
For sure. It's for sure sociopathic. I'm just kidding. I didn't actually believe myself.
Did you? I guess we'll never know.
I guess we'll never know.
Psychopath. Anyways, that's my fun fact.
That's cool. Yes. I like that fun fact. Thanks for making it light this week with the holidays. You know, the holidays are great, but also can be stressful sometimes. Yeah. So sometimes we need some light energy up in her.
Like the negative 144 degrees that will kill you. Yeah.
Hey, but count your blessings, because at least where you are, even if it's cold, it's not negative 162 degrees.
That wasn't the number I gave.
What was the number again?
Negative 144. Do you even listen to me? Am I just chatting to nobody?
Negative 144.
There you go.
At least it's not anywhere close to that, probably. Unless, do you think we have Antarctica listeners? Penguins?
No.
Are you out there?
Hitler, are you out there?
Probably. He's like, man, what can I do to redeem myself? I'll take over the solar panels.
Okay, you have a world update. All right.
I've got my world update from happyeconews.com. You know what's fun about taking notes?
What?
Is that you forget what you talked about as soon as you start the podcast. At least I do, sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's just you.
Hey, from And That's Why We Drink, they talk about it too.
So, do they?
Yes, okay. I've heard them talk about it. So it's not just me.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, my world update is actually good news too. It's not as exciting as yours, but it's good news. So this article is talking about how renewable energy will overtake coal as a top producer in the next 5 years, according to the International Agency.
Hey, yeah. Here we go.
It's good stuff. And so they were saying that, like, the reason for it was that they're seeing an uptake in investing in reusable energy or renewable energy. And a lot of the world's largest countries are starting to move towards using more of those types of energies. And they said that India specifically will be doubling their renewable additions in 2021.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the US and China, whoop, whoop, will be expanding by 30%. So
nice. Okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Making waves.
Literally.
Sometimes.
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 Yeah. So that's my world update for you.
That's a solid update.
It was short and sweet, but hey, we're on the right path.
We are. And sometimes short and sweet is all you need.
Mm-hmm. Like this podcast episode, maybe.
All right.
Are you ready
to tell us
your story?
Yes. So we did a poll last Thursday. Was it Thursday?
last Tuesday, which means that we forgot this week. But wait, next week.
Was that today?
Yes. But next week we
can
have.
Can we do it today?
Yeah, but next week we have a guest anyway, so it doesn't matter. So we can skip this week.
Okay.
I realized as I was doing my research tonight, so.
Could we still do one tonight?
Yeah, we can do it, but okay. it doesn't really matter because next week we're doing the interview.
That's true.
Let's hash out our podcast logistics while we're podcasting.
Yes.
I think that's the best plan.
So we did a poll last week on Instagram and I was seriously, guys, so amazed by the response that we have received on these polls that we've done. And so one of our winners, we do two polls. So you get, because we have two topics each week. And so we take the top two winners and that is what Julia and I have today.
Yep.
So today I will be talking about Q-tips because we had a lot of people who wanted to know about Q-tips.
You know, I love that. I'm excited to hear about Q-tips.
I hope it's exciting. I hope it's, there's not a ton. There's not a ton on Q-tips because it's such a specific thing.
But it's useful.
It is useful.
And it's one of those things that you do daily or at least a couple times a month, probably.
I mean, there's a ton of different uses for Q-tips. My number one usage is for cleaning out my ears, which that's because I... Okay.
Why?
Well, so doctors say you should not put anything... I think the phrasing is don't put anything smaller than your elbow inside your ear because a lot of injuries come from... inner ear and injuries.
Yeah.
And so I do it anyways.
I use Q-tips for my ears too.
Yeah. So like there's a whole debate on whether or not you should use Q-tips. And I feel like it's one of those kind of under the table. Like if you're in the medical world, you hear about it. Because like I've had friends whose parents are doctors and they're like, nope, I don't use Q-tips because a lot of injuries stem from Q-tip usage.
Wow.
Because, kids will jam them in their ears because they'll just go too far.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a lot of ER. I think I saw 34 kids daily go to the ER. And I don't know if that's daily per ER, per the entire United States, for the entire world. I don't know what the... It just said 34 kids go to the ER daily for Q-tip.
These kids need to learn how to use Q-tips.
They do, but also they are kids.
I guess.
And I guess there's something appealing about putting the Q-tip in your ear and pushing it until it can't come out anymore. So anyways,
I guess
if you do it really aggressively, it can jam the earwax farther into the ear canal, which can lead to more damage.
Yeah.
My main reason for using Q-tips is like when I get out of the shower, I have a lot of water in my ear and I find that super uncomfortable and distracting and I hate it. And so I just use the Q-tip as like an external kind of like, we're going to soak up all the water and call it good.
Yeah.
So there's that. It's also really good for like wound care. If you need something easy to kind of just dab at your wound, as you do. Or like makeup application or taking off makeup. I took a makeup class last semester and I used Q-tips all the time to either add or take off makeup. So there's a lot of different uses. Technology, cleaning your technology. Like you've got your phone and your charging port at the bottom of your phone. And I've used a Q-tip sometimes to wipe it out.
Genius.
Yeah.
Back in the day where they had the big, the like wide... Apple chargers that were like almost the size of the base. My charger stopped working one day and I tried like multiple chargers and it didn't work. And so I took it into the Apple store and literally all they did was they used like a blow thingy and blew out all of the lint.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that's gross.
That's it. Yeah. Nasty. So you can use Q-tips for that.
Cool.
Like in your computer keyboard, if you have like one of those big keyboards with the big keys.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different uses for Q-tips. My main usage is cleaning out my ears, which there's a whole debate on that. I know.
She is aware, so don't DM us.
I know, and I will continue to do so because
I also do that. Like, sometimes I get out of the shower and I want to put my headphones in to like get ready for the day.
Yeah.
But I don't want to put my headphones into my wet ears.
Squish. They just squish.
Yeah.
It's nasty.
Yeah. So I do the same thing.
And on top of that, then you get all the gross like earwax water onto your headphones. And when it when it dries, it leaves a gross film. It's like
crusty.
So I know. I know it's not good, but I do it anyways.
Yeah.
So if you're like me and you do it anyways, join us on our little on our miniature Q-tip expedition. I didn't know this, but fun fact, ears are self-cleaning apparently.
Oh.
So like it'll the earwax and the buildup, it works its way out of your ear on its own.
Interesting.
Just a little gross, but kind of cool.
Just oozes.
Ew, nasty. So basically, what damage is our Q-tip usage doing? Why should we change using our Q-tips? So cotton swabs are a huge source of ocean pollution, and while companies have made moves to change their the stick from plastic to paper, it's only happening in certain countries with certain companies. And also, is this really significant enough to? Is this enough of a change to stop the damage from happening?
Yeah.
Because it's also harming marine life. I've seen a couple pictures where, one that I saw today specifically was of a seahorse that had wrapped its tail around a Q-tip and was just like clinging to the Q-tip because they do that to seagrass.
Yeah.
And it's like this animal is clinging to trash instead of clinging to things that are in its natural habitat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's causing more harm than good.
Mm.
On top of that, Q-tips are also washing up on beaches, and they look like sucker sticks because the cotton will biodegrade.
Yeah.
But the stick is still there. And so if you walk along the beach and you see like a ton of sucker sticks, they're not sucker sticks. They're Q-tips.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
there's just a lot of... I've definitely seen that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been like... Why can't you just hold on to your sucker stick? It's not a sucker stick. It's a Q-tip.
Also, who's eating suckers at the beach? What about the sand?
I'm sure some people do that. I mean, it makes more sense than cleaning your ears with Q-tips at the beach.
That's true.
So.
Well, but they just end up at the beaches, right?
Yeah, they do. So they're coming from other waterways.
Right.
If you flush them, which please don't flush them. Guys, there are only like... 3, maybe 4 things that should be flushed ever.
I was going to say, really only 3?
Well, you've got number 1.
Number 2.
And number 2.
And toilet paper.
Toilet paper and vomit.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that.
Vomit's a nasty word.
Good point.
And anything, like, if it's not coming from your body, it should not be going into your water.
Even the flushable wipes that they say are flushable, don't
do flush them. Do not flush menstrual products. Do not flush diapers. Do not flush diapers.
Guys, who's flushing diapers? Stop.
Do not. Don't flush Q-tips. Don't flush.
I've never even heard of that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Don't flush paper towels.
Do we have time for a story?
Yep, tell it.
Okay. My brother, when he was 4, it was Christmas Day. He got this brand new, like...
Oh, I know this story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got this brand new toy set. I don't even know what brand it was. It was just like, I'm sure... Oh, it was like the Fisher-Price, toy.
Like the chunky block.
Yeah. Chunky blocks. And it was like this circus train. It had all these little pieces to it. And then it had like 4 different... train cars.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother decided he wanted to figure out what would happen if he flushed them down the toilet.
No.
And so he flushed them down the toilet, and obviously the toilet clogged and overflowed.
Mm-hmm.
And my poor dad, Christmas Day, after having bought my brother this toy set, spent the rest of the afternoon like unclogging the toilet, and he had to like take the toilet up and off of the
pipes
to get it out. And he finally gets done with that. And then that night, my brother did it again.
No.
And my dad was just like, I just wanted to get him this toy so that he could be happy and have fun with it. And suddenly my day has turned into becoming a plumber. So don't flush things down the toilet, guys.
Please don't flush it. If it says flushable, don't flush it.
Unless it's toilet paper. That's the only exception. Even napkins, even tissues. Don't flush it. You have a trash can right there. Or you should think about putting a trash can in your bathroom.
if you don't think about it. So
anyways, my tangent.
Basically, Q-tips can also contribute to
flogs.
clogs that can lead to burst pipes, water damage, and damaged ecosystems as well after they build up for a little bit.
Makes sense.
So some of our solutions to Q-tip pollution, you can ditch the Q-tips that use plastic. So if you use Q-tips that have plastic, just find a different brand. There's a couple other brands out there. I know a lot of times the argument is, but these ones are cheaper. These ones are more eco, like they're more beneficial for me as the consumer because I want to save money. Mm-hmm. But that's one of those that you kind of just weigh the damages a little bit and decide to make a change if you feel like that changes for you. Yeah. So you can ditch the ones that have that plastic straw in between the cotton buds. You can look for Q-tips that have a paper stem or that have a bamboo or wood stem.
Mm-hmm.
There are brands that are 100% biodegradable, 100% compostable that you can do in your at-home compost.
That's cool.
Yeah. Some sites include ethicalsuperstore.com, Bauer Collective, Big Green Smile, and a couple of my favorite companies that I go to is Package Free or Seed and Sprout.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of those two companies, so... if you are also a fan of those, take a look at them. See if you like the products that they have.
Become fans of them.
They're great. Or you can ditch single use entirely. And lastobject.com has a product called the Last Swab. And it's the first reusable cotton swab.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's medical grade silicone, on a cotton swab, and you just wash it and reuse it. So right now I'm looking for my own solution to the Q-tips because I use Q-tips daily, literally every single day I use Q-tips. And so I am producing a lot of waste with Q-tips. And so I feel like I'm kind of trying to balance between, do I want to go the last swab route and have one Q-tip because then that reduces my waste? Mm-hmm. But I know myself and I know that I'm lazy. And am I really going to wash that Q-tip every single day? I don't want 8 different Q-tips for every day.
Right.
But am I really going to do, am I going to do my due diligence and make sure that that's clean before I put it inside my ear that can create more bacteria, more problems, more buildup for myself?
For sure.
Or do I want to have a product that is still kind of creating waste, but I can put it somewhere else. I can put it in our compost bin. I can, if I do throw it away, it will break down easier than the ones with the plastic in them. So kind of just, I'm trying to weigh my own pros and cons and see which route I want to take.
Yeah.
So if anyone has any solutions or advice, please feel free to let us know. Write in. I'm open for anything.
Always, always write in, guys.
So that's what I got.
Cool.
Did that answer your questions for Q-tips?
Yeah. Short and simple. Gives you guys some options. And I feel like it's just, sometimes I like knowing the reason behind things.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, because Q-tips are so small. You're like, how much, like, is this really a big deal? But then when you talk about like the wash up on beaches or the seahorse that was clinging to one,
mm-hmm.
it kind of gives you an idea of like where it's actually going instead of it's such a small thing where you can just throw it out and forget about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. I also forgot to mention my sources were healthblog.uofmhealth.org, treehugger.com, and beashadegreener.com. So cool. As usual, we will post those on our website for your usage after this episode.
Yes.
Cool.
All right. Well, this week I am going to be diving into some eco myths, was the other. Yeah, that was the other one that got chosen. Sweet. So I'm excited about it. Some of them are definitely better than others, just like in terms of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did, there's all kinds of different lists out there for eco myths. And I just took a couple websites and kind of took my top 10 favorites or like what I found most interesting.
Yeah.
So my sources were Kiplinger.com, TheZeroWaster.com, and ConserveEnergyFuture.com. So myth number one, I'm sorry, Celia. Biodegradable products return to their natural state and free up landfill space. I feel like a lot of these myths I felt added by because they're definitely things that we have talked about on the podcast.
Oh, yes.
And have been like, oh, yeah, this is totally true. But sometimes it's not always true.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a myth. It's a super good thought and a good idea. And it sounds like a good concept, like you're buying something that's biodegradable. That way you can just throw it away and it'll biodegrade and mm-hmm. it's not contributing to like the piles of junk, right? But a lot of landfills now are designed to keep out sunlight, air, and moisture to prevent air and water pollution. And so that makes it harder for those biodegradable products to break down.
So they are biodegradable, but they're prevented from doing what they were designed to do.
Yeah. And so, like you were saying, you could put something that's biodegradable in your compost, maybe, mm-hmm. if it would, I don't know if every biodegradable product would work for that.
Yeah.
Because
your compost does still have restrictions.
Right. So look into that. But the whole idea that everything biodegradable is automatically kind of like a get out of jail free card isn't necessarily true mm-hmm. because you're still using things, you're still contributing.
Yeah.
So that was myth number one. Oh, and then at the end of that, I just said it's probably better to just try to reduce your landfill contributions than to, you know, find a way around it.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like the whole reuse, reduce, recycle thing.
Yeah.
Recycle is the last one that you want to like get to, right?
Yeah.
You want to try to reduce it and then reuse it first. Myth number two, we all need to be going plastic free, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
Because there's been like such a push, like I'm sure we saw it, was it in July? That like I feel like everyone was doing or trying to do like a plastic free July.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's definitely a good goal to work towards. But plastic free isn't necessarily the best. It's a good thing to strive for, but it could be doing more harm than good just because there's certain times where plastic is kind of the best that we have right now for, and there's obviously a lot of things coming out technology wise, you know, to kind of replace plastic. Like for example, I was thinking of the wine bottles, mm-hmm. how wine bottles, they're usually packaged in a lot of plastic so that they don't break. But there's like new technology that's coming out where they can do cardboard stuff. So that makes it that you like put a thing of cardboard around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in a cardboard bubble.
Yeah.
But for right now, a lot of the plastics that are like, the argument is that it's good because it's reducing the waste. Because if you didn't use plastic, like a lot of food would go to waste because it's not packaged properly. And same with like the wine bottles and stuff like that. So then it's kind of increasing waste. So take that for what you will. I don't know what I think about it.
Yeah.
But
I definitely have some thoughts on it. Like, are we just justifying our plastic usage?
Right.
And saying, oh, well, you know, we need plastic because otherwise foods will go bad. And it's like, well, why can't we come up with better ways to store food, right?
Yeah. I think the idea is that, like, right now, in the moment that we're in, it's kind of better to have some plastic use.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, there's definitely technology that they're working towards finding alternatives.
Yeah. Because, like, it makes sense thinking that, like, if we pulled the plug right now and just ripped all plastic away,
mm-hmm.
we would have a lot of food waste. Yeah, right. That makes sense. Because most of our things are wrapped in plastic. So I think we just need to gradually move towards developing that technology and having alternatives as they happen,
yeah.
rather than just immediately being like, okay, ban on plastic. Great. Boom. Because then we have nothing to replace it with.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the direction that specific myth was going, was mm-hmm. that it was like, okay, guys, going plastic free is great and all, but let's not, like, all jump off the cliff at once, basically.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a process. Mm-hmm. We use a lot of plastic, as we've seen. And so it's going to take a lot of work to kind of undo that.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Myth number three, electric vehicles are an environmentally friendly alternative to gas vehicles.
Ooh, I did know that one.
That it's a myth?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
I'm curious as to your thoughts.
Okay.
Okay, do you want me to go first?
Sorry. Yeah, you go first. You go first, and then I'll share my thoughts.
Okay.
Because I don't have a ton of thoughts.
Okay.
On it. I just knew that... That was a myth because you've been looking at cars. You mm-hmm. were looking at cars before yeah. and were kind of like, well, you know, I've heard that electric vehicles are more eco-friendly. And we actually figured out, I think it was one of our roommates said that that's actually not true because mm-hmm. even though you think that it might be eco-friendly, in one way, it's also not being eco-friendly in other directions.
Yeah. And that's honestly what a lot of these myths are, that when you first hear it, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Let's go plastic free. Or, yeah, let's buy an electric car mm-hmm. or whatever. Your first thought is, yeah, that sounds good. But then if you kind of look a little bit more into the details of it, it's like, hang on, is this actually like what they're saying it is?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of along with that. The process to manufacture electric vehicles is actually a lot more toxic than it is to make conventional cars, mm-hmm. especially because of that battery. And it's the same with, like, once those... I don't think we've necessarily run into this yet because electric cars are so new. But once... What do you do with the battery when electric cars die, you know?
Right, yeah.
Or, like, all the technology that's inside of it, mm-hmm. like... Probably not good for the environment.
No.
But I think they're so new that we haven't necessarily crossed that bridge yet.
Yeah. We're so easily greenwashed
mm-hmm.
That we're like, oh, fantastic. You know, this company is slapping a green label on it. That means they're eco-friendly. Oh,
yep.
Oh. Do you have
jump
more
in
on
the
that?
Gun.
Sorry. Keep going.
It's okay. I think that's something, I think a lot of people know that already, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And then another point with that myth, it also just depends on the source of electricity because, you know, I think, I don't know if we were talking about it on this podcast or just like as friends or what,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, if you're plugging your car in to charge, where are you getting that electricity from?
Right. Yeah.
Right. So if you have solar panels that you can hook up to, then that's great. But if you're just hooking up to normal energy, is that really much better?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So just kind of some more things to like be thinking about when you're looking at that kind of stuff. Myth number four, imported food always has a higher carbon footprint than local food.
Oh, that's a myth.
Yeah. Which was interesting because we talked about this literally last week in my Thanksgiving episode where I was saying buy local so that you can reduce your carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
But turns out that that's a myth sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do we figure that out?
So, here's the thing.
Tell us the thing.
Basically, sometimes local foods can be kind of intensely produced because they're selling local, but they're also sometimes selling nationwide so that they can, so they're trying to like mass produce, mm-hmm. pretty much, which is kind of just a problem with our food system that we have in general.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a reflection on local foods. That's just how farmers are going to make their money, mm-hmm. right? And so if food is transported in a ship, then it could actually be lower carbon footprint than if it's made locally, which was interesting.
Okay. Because a ship will give off less carbon,
mm-hmm.
per the amount of weight. Like, I mean, if it is carting one crate of apples across,
mm-hmm.
Then yeah, the carbon footprint is going to be higher, but because it's transporting so much ton of stuff, mm-hmm. it can divvy up the carbon footprint.
Exactly.
Whereas if you have a truckload of things, the truck is trucks give off more carbon than boats do?
Yeah. And naturally. Same with trains and planes.
Yeah.
So
it just kind of, it depends on the load, depends on the quantity, depends on the mode of transportation. There's a lot of factors involved.
Is hard when you're at the grocery store or at the farmer's market, even looking at food, you have no idea how it got there, mm-hmm. necessarily.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the hard part. I found like a general rule, which was interesting. It kind of feeds into like what this myth is saying. But basically any food that's traveled far and has a short shelf life, say that five times fast. Short shelf life. I don't know why that was so hard. So basically, you know, fruits, vegetables, the perishable stuff, mm-hmm. Any kind of that that's traveling far, is better to buy local, probably, because that means if it's traveling from far, it was likely transported in the air, because it needs to get quickly to places. Otherwise, mm-hmm. it will rot before it's even sold, right?
Yeah.
And it also means that it was likely frozen or chilled along the way, which kind of ups that ante too. So especially for stuff like those perishables, fruits, vegetables, meats, produce, stuff like that, might be better to buy at your local farmer's market and stuff than at a grocery store where you're getting an orange from Florida when you live up in Washington or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But with stuff like rice, or I'm just thinking like those shelf stable foods.
Yeah. Rice, beans, pastas.
Right. Right. It might be better to get those at a grocery store because they probably did come in on a big ship with lots of other rice and mm-hmm. things like that. So
yeah,
that's kind of what that myth was getting at. Myth number five, green living is for tree huggers.
It is not.
Are you not a tree hugger?
If
you support our highest level on Patreon, you will become a tree hugger.
You will. I don't feel like I'm a textbook tree hugger.
Yeah.
I think my family labels me as a tree hugger, but
it's all in compare, or it's like
relative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like I do still go grocery shopping and buy things that have huge carbon footprints, and
yeah.
I have things wrapped in plastic.
Yeah,
but I pick up trash when I can. So I guess it's relative. It depends on
your
personal definition of tree hugger.
Yeah, Yeah. So basically what this myth was getting at is that there's no set rule for how to live green, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of what I feel like we just like go after over and over on this podcast, but you don't have to do it perfectly. That's pretty much like, that's what it is. You don't have to do it perfectly or completely like turn your lifestyle upside down. You know, if you are somebody from the city and you don't want to, you know, go out and live super granola in the woods, you don't have to. Just find ways that fit your lifestyle that you can kind of try to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what we try to do on this podcast.
Yeah.
But in case you missed that, you're the dummy that don't believe in science.
You're the dummy that don't believe in science.
Myth number 6, hand washing is greener than using a dishwasher, which I am guilty of. I hand wash dishes like nobody's business. Also because most places I've lived, I haven't had a dishwasher because we're doing apartments and stuff. And so I have just gotten used to it, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I necessarily thought it was greener, but I just was used to it.
And I think it also depends, like, if you have a spoon and a bowl from your cereal in the morning, you're not gonna, it's gonna take you a long time to fill up a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you've used probably most of your dishes are sitting in the dishwasher at that point. And so why would you wait? Like, just quickly wash your spoon and your bowl right there.
Yeah, that's a good point. What this myth was saying was that basically 10 years ago, it might have been true, but with how dishwasher technology has kind of improved, a lot of the newer models are actually really good at saving water for dishwashers. And then there was a suggestion for people like me who do like to hand wash sometimes, which I think I'd rather just wash or put it in the dishwasher to save water than do this, but it's a good alternative, maybe. But if you have like one of those sinks that has the two bowls like built in, like the divide, you know, you can put one side for washing and one side for rinsing and do it that way, or just have like a separate bowl.
Fill them up with water. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Or just have a separate bowl. Like if you only have one sink that doesn't have a divide in it, have a separate bowl on the side for like the washing part or the rinsing part, and then have the sink full to do the washing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's for people like me who can't get out of habits. I don't know. Myth number 7, paper bags are better than plastic bags for grocery shopping.
Oh.
Yeah, which was interesting because I remember growing up, I'm from the Seattle area, and I remember that was a really big thing, like because they were trying to get away from plastic bags, and so a lot of places they instead of just like banning plastic and not having an alternative, they put paper bags out. And that was a big debate for a while, but basically the idea behind this myth is that they both have their own impacts. Paper bags are still not super sustainable because you're still cutting trees down to use the paper, and so it's better to just use a reusable bag.
Just cut out the middleman. Exactly. Don't use bags.
Exactly. You've got two arms.
Push them out in your cart all the way to your car, or get reusable.
I've definitely done that before when I forget my reusable bags.
Yeah, there are solutions.
Chico bags.
Chico bags. Love my Chico bags.
Yeah. All right. This one's kind of similar to the one that I did earlier, but you don't have to go off-grid to be eco-friendly.
True. Did you know that? Here we are trying to be eco-friendly and not living off-grid.
And we're not off-grid.
Not off-grid.
Yeah. Basically, this one was saying that it's not necessarily reasonable to give up everything that you have in life just to, you know, to be eco-friendly. We're meant to be on this earth to live life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't live life if you're tucked away in the mountains. So just try to live life and find ways that you can do better and work towards solutions to your waste or your impact. All right. This one Celia already touched on, so I'll just do it briefly. Myth number 9, green labels are always true. That is a myth.
Mm-hmm. I've been seeing a lot of fast food companies recently be like, go to the Beyond Meat thing. Mm-hmm. That's becoming a really big trend right now, is yeah. Beyond Meat. And it's like, okay, but where are you getting this?
Yeah.
And how are you producing it? And how are you transporting it? And how, so like, it may be Beyond Meat, but what's your process?
Mm-hmm.
It's greenwashing.
Yeah. Well, I didn't include it on this list of myths, but maybe I'll include it now since you kind of brought it up and reminded me of that. But another big myth in like the eco-friendly world, I feel like, is that the best way to go eco-friendly is to become vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always necessarily true, because a lot of the substitutes that people eat as vegetarians use a ton of water to produce and stuff like that. So it's just, you kind of, with all of this, what we're finding is that you really just have to find a balance. Like, mm-hmm. You don't want to eat meat for every meal necessarily, but also if you're not eating meat, then you're finding, you know, substitutes in other areas and you're still having an impact.
Yeah.
So,
and I know the argument can be made, well, you know, like the meat industry is not necessarily ethical. Well, neither is the farming industry.
Yeah.
It's
have such you heard of pesticides?
Pesticides. Who's farming NGOs. Your food? Who's working in your fields farming your foods? You know, yeah. Like, are they being treated fairly?
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of different ethics for a lot of different pockets.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things you just have to kind of do your own research and find out all of the facts across the board,
mm-hmm.
and kind of decide, we've talked about this before, where do your values lie?
Yeah.
If your values lie in one place more than another, put your money towards that. Do that. But if not, then kind of spread it out and mm-hmm. see what works for you.
Yeah. But just know there's pitfalls everywhere.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sucky thing that you almost can't win no yeah. matter what, unless you yeah. are growing your own food 100% of the way.
Unless you're living off grid.
Unless you're living off grid. You cannot. It is not possible, because there's going to be pitfalls everywhere you turn. Yeah. But if we all do our best and try our best, we will see success.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't be the group project mentality with some people carrying the project and everyone else is like, I don't really care.
Right. Like my mentality of, I'm not traveling this week, so that allows other people to travel.
Right.
It's yeah. not really how it works. But I'll pretend like it does.
Yeah.
So basically, green labels, they're not always true. They're not regulated at all. They're starting to get more regulated by like the FDA and stuff. But it's not like, you know how with gluten-free things that are labeled,
mm-hmm.
they have to go through a like vetting process
yeah.
of, what does this have in it? Is it actually gluten-free?
Mm-hmm. Has it contaminated? Has it touched anything else?
Right.
Is the equipment that's being used 100% clean?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's nothing like that for eco-friendly products right now, but they're definitely working towards that. So that could change in the future. But just know, you know, when you're going to the store, just be aware when you find something eco-friendly, which I've definitely been guilty of this. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, it's eco-friendly.
Yeah.
It makes me feel so much better to use
totally.
It. But just be aware, maybe take that extra step to even look at the label and see what's actually inside of it. Or look up the brand, see how they're making things. Take that extra step just to be kind of aware and conscious of what you're doing. And myth number 10, this was news to me, so I don't know if it was news to you. But sustainable and green are actually not synonyms. Well, the myth was that they are synonyms, but they're not.
I feel like I knew that. Tell me, Tell me more.
Okay. Because I feel like even in this podcast, I feel like we use a lot of words kind of interchangeably.
Yeah, we do.
When really maybe it's not necessarily as interchangeable as we think they are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But basically, there's a lot of overlap, which is why I think they do get used synonymously so much. But green typically is referring to like natural things.
Mm-hmm.
So like
an orange.
Yeah.
It's green.
Right. Or like, I'm trying to think, even like the, like cleaning products that are just like orange peels and vinegar or something mm-hmm. like that. Like that's pretty all natural as opposed to, you know, artificial whatever. So mm-hmm. stuff like that, if yeah. that makes sense.
Yeah.
So just trying to be more all natural instead of finding alternatives that are still artificial, if that makes sense.
I guess. So are you saying the goal is to be green and not sustainable?
No.
You want to be green?
No. They're okay. just different concepts.
Okay.
So
okay.
sustainable is talking about things that can last and be used for a long time. So like, for example, sustainable energy mm-hmm. as opposed to oil, which at some point the oil in the ground is going to run out. We don't know when. We don't know how. Well, scientists probably know how. I personally don't know how.
Yeah, yeah.
But something like that, or also same with like clothes. Thrift shopping is more sustainable than shopping in the mall or whatever mm-hmm. because you're kind of sustaining the lifetime of those clothes. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So there is overlap, but also just used kind of in different contexts. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's my, I have learned you guys today.
Wow. I'm impressed. There's a lot of stuff that I feel like there's a lot of takeaways from oh, yeah. this, I think. Even just being a little bit more aware in, is this product that I'm buying, is it green? Is it sustainable?
Mm-hmm.
Is it being greenwashed or is it a genuine, authentic green product?
Right.
Or sustainable product. All kinds of stuff. This has yeah. been great.
Yeah. I really liked this suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited to do it. And honestly, like in a future episode, I might, like, it would be cool to dive into some of these myths more because
yeah.
I feel like I just did, this was my short 10 list that I took from these, a few different websites. There's so many myths out there and so much information on each of them that I, like, there's just so much to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyways, that's for another day. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. We did. We will.
I hope we will.
This is Friday, so let's see. We ate lots. We're probably in a food coma at this moment.
Yeah.
Still. A food hangover. And yeah, enjoy Black Friday the best you can. And if you've enjoyed this episode, download and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at @G_4podcast. Our Facebook page is still Good Girls Go Green, and you can always email us at goodgirlsgogreenpodcast@gmail.com. Oh, there's the steps again.
There we are. I was wondering where they went.
And then obviously check out our website at goodgirlsgogreenpodcast.com, where we will have all of the sites or the resources that we used today on this episode, as well as there's the steps again.
Something's coming.
As well as all of the stuff for all of our episodes. So, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
You're the dummy that don't believe in science. Written on your forehead, always be denying. You're the dummy that don't believe in science. Written on your forehead, always be denying. Hey, hey, hey.